is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, everybody. It's fall time. My name's Bran, and I'm just loving this fall movies.
I can't do that.
Come on, do it.
All right.
Hey, it's Panda.
Yeah.
I like fall movies.
You sure do? Mm.
Come on, Dan. Come on, bring it on down.
Hi.
Yeah.
He did it.
I'm Dan.
I didn't see it coming either.
Wait for it.
What?
Fall movies suck. And what this is?
The Deck the Hallmark Podcast.
Oh, man. Hello, everybody.
If
welcome.
You can't get fired up about a whisper intro. What can you get fired up about?
It's the whisper song.
No, we're not doing that.
No?
No, absolutely
not. Is that inappropriate?
Yeah, if anyone Googles that, we all lose our jobs somehow. I don't know. It happens.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Deck the Hallmark. We are in the midst of everything that Fall Harvest has to offer.
Weirdly, it's kind of also the home stretch.
It's the home stretch and the midst.
In less than 2 weeks from now,
I guess last week, Country at Heart was really in the midst. Yeah. And now we're in the home stretch.
We're in the home stretch because we've already watched all of them but one now.
Boy, can you believe it?
Can you believe it?
Mm. So much is coming up, including Christmas movies, season 3 launching, our marathon on Friendly TV on October 24th, starting right about 6 a.m. Eastern, going all day long. Some of you might be asking, why are you doing it that time? Well, it's because we're not, this isn't our first rodeo. We learned our lessons, everybody.
But also, we learned our lessons. We want to record the episodes right afterwards. Whereas if we watch the movie to start, we just like, we're delirious by the end. Whereas if we watch these movies all day and then we record the episodes, both of them live, those two movies that are Saturday, we will record those episodes live on Friendly TV at midnight.
Right.
That's going
to
be fun.
Right. We've got special guests lined up to keep us company. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We've got 6 more preview episodes and 2 more lookbacks. Preview episodes called Christmas lookbacks, and they happen before Christmas starts. And in January, we will have 4 more lookbacks on Christmas as a season.
I understand what you're doing right now, and I don't appreciate it. This Thursday, we have 1 more preview episode.
The third preview episode.
And I'm sad about that.
Before the kickoff episode.
And then next week, we have a kickoff.
Yeah.
The kickoff is different than the previews.
But it will look back at the 3 preview episodes.
Well, you have to look at the previews to kick off.
Then why do we have the preview episodes?
Because you need them to do what you need to do in the kickoff. It's very clear.
You need them to do what you need to do.
You can't kick off unless whatever you know what you're kicking off from.
Your place for the holidays and Hallmark holiday movies is here at Deck the Hallmark. You're going to want to do a couple things to get ready. You go to friendlytv.com/DTH and sign up for Friendly TV.
Right.
It's the DVR lasts forever now, doesn't it?
It's 9 months.
9 months.
What that Christmas means movies. Is that movies that you DVR in December, such as Love, Lights, and Hanukkah with Ben Savage.
All the way through August.
You can all the way through...
Or late August.
Yeah, late August. Wow. Yeah. Very exciting.
Then you also need to go to BrambleJamPlus.com and join up in time for the holidays. At the Deck the Hallmark Plus tier, not only are you in line to get a double decker of the week from Panda, you get the Facebook group where we talk about each and every one of the movies, and maybe you hear some extra opinions on those movies that couldn't make the podcast.
What does that mean?
Well, sometimes I'm a little more frank. I think we all are on the Facebook group than we are here on the podcast.
If we hold back?
Yeah.
And this is true, guys. I have the list in front of me, and I'm just going to be frank with you. Like, November and December, we have a few more advertisers during this time of the year.
We
have a few more episodes, too. I hate to break it to you. And the best way out, like, let's be honest, the best way to listen is with Bramble Jam Plus.
I love it. No questions asked.
We're being frank here.
Yeah, being frank.
We're being frank.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
No.
Or any.
And last but not least, Hallmark Book Club is just taking
fire.
Off. It's just this
podcast
is
fire.
This is the time where the book club really shines.
Well, right? If you love a good Christmas book, this is the only time.
Tease out.
Ooh, a little tease.
Tease out what is coming up here on Book Club.
We got some fun ones. We got Alexis Stanton talking about Timeless Christmas, which the movie's coming out with Pavey. It's going to be fun. We also have Nancy Nagel coming on the podcast.
You got the Nagel?
I got the Nagel.
You got the
Christmas
Nagel.
Christmas in Evergreen.
Whoa. Man, that's impressive.
It's a big one. Yep. Yeah. So
now you got recently a Hallmark Book Club tattoo.
Yeah,
on
I did. Yeah. Yeah. And
you want to show the viewers? You're going to save it.
I'm going to save it. Okay. Because, but I will
save it for the marathon.
I'm not sure it was the best idea.
Really?
They misspelled book.
Who'd you go to?
Oh, JoJo.
Yeah, JoJo will do that. You don't
JoJo. Is it the Hallmark Buck Club?
Or the Hallmark Bot Club?
He had an E. He thought it was highfalutin.
He started with the E, so it's the Hallmark eBook Club.
eBook Club.
Yeah.
Which you can get these books on eBay.
I told him, I said, we take all the digital, and he went too far with it.
I told him, technically, you're not wrong. But it's not exclusive to the ebook. I think that's clear.
Welcome to the ebook club, the Hallmark ebook club,
where in order to listen, it is mandatory you ebook it.
Yeah.
Don't you dare buy physical.
Right. Don't. No.
Did we do it?
That's
we ready to go. Yeah. I'm thinking about speaking of physical media. I'm thinking about putting a Hallmark Deck the Hallmark on vinyl, like a nice red vinyl for the holidays. And you know, you can only put so much on vinyl, so it's just
Is it just our intro?
It's just the intro. It's just the intro.
It's a great idea.
Thank you.
We should definitely use company money.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
My best friend's bouquet.
Yeah. Oh, no. Bouquet, my bad.
Bouquet. Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Hey, calm down, Panda. You really got to a seven there. It originally aired on October 10th, 2020, and it went a little something like this. We meet Josie. Josie is making a bouquet. Is it her best friend's bouquet? Time will tell.
It is.
We then meet Alex, who's working on a speech for that wedding. He shows up at brunch, and Josie is there. They know each other. Good news, everybody. I'm back with an update. The bouquet, it is her best friends. Josie and Alex are both a part of this wedding party. They're all having brunch together, and it turns out that Josie's bouquets run in the family, and they have special powers. The bouquets know where to go. They know where to go. The bouquet knows. In fact, people have gotten, you know, if you catch that bouquet, you are going to get married next. It's a given. Josie is looking for love. Josie wants it to happen like it does in the movies, specifically Hallmark movies, it seems, where you bump into people and it's a fun little thing and you fall in love. But Alex is already in love with Josie. But he's worried that he can't create this perfect movie-like moment to sweep Josie off her feet, and so why even try? But at the wedding, a guy named Will bumps into Josie and sweeps her. Is that Will? Will Forsythe?
Will Forsythe?
What?
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Sweeps her right off her feet, and boy, is he a hunk. It's time for the bouquet toss, and despite trying to get out of the way, Josie catches the bouquet, and the bouquet knows where to go. The next day, she's at her job, and she runs an after-school nonprofit. It's nonprofit. It's fine. It's on the up and up. And gets a call from this insurance company who's interested in becoming a corporate sponsor. They show up for her to pitch the nonprofit to them to see if they're interested. And guess who walks in? It's Will Forsythe. And he loves the pitch. But you know what else he loves? Her. Asks her out on a date, and it goes pretty dang great. She meets up with Alex the next day, starts bragging about the date and all sorts, and he gets all sorts of sad about it. He doesn't know what to do, and so she decides to help him by setting up a dating profile for him. He gets on the dating app, starts swiping left and whatnot, and she sees him start chatting with a girl on the app, and you can tell she's not a big fan of how that's making her feel. Josie goes dress shopping with her friend Athena. She tries on a wedding dress herself, and she loves the way she looks, I guarantee it. It's time for Josie to go on another date with Will, and it turns out that it's actually just a networking event, and so it's not very romantic, and she's starting to get a little bummed out by how work-obsessed he is. So Josie and Alex decide it's a good idea to go out on a double date together. I'll bring Will. Alex will bring his date, a name that I forget.
Marissa
explains it all. That's right. They're going at it, and it's just not going well because everyone notices that that Josie and Alex have a little something something going little on, something. And so Marissa is like, "Listen, you follow that. Not here for this." Alex, though, gets a job offer in the Windy City of Chicago. And now he's really just, I'm not sure what to do. So I really have to put it all out there. And so he goes to tell Josie about how he feels. And she starts talking about how Will checks all the boxes and makes him so happy. And so he never actually gets to tell her how he feels. And so she just goes on her way. It all comes out at a party that Alex is taking a job in Chicago. Josie does not take that well at all. So poorly, in fact, that she immediately goes and breaks up with Will. Alex is getting ready to leave for Chicago. He finishes up this letter that shows exactly how he feels about Josie, but he just can't put it in the mailbox. Mm. Instead, throws it in the trash. But luckily, fate is windy today, and the wind takes that letter, blows it out of the trash can. This fella picks it up, drops that sucker right in the mailbox. So it's the night of Alex's going away party. The letter arrives in her mail and she reads it and she's like, yes, this is awesome. She runs to the party. Alex isn't there. Where's Alex? Alex went to go tell her how he feels. Flowers in hand, and is like, I'm not going to Chicago. My dream is right here with you. And she's like, this is so great. They end up getting married and they end up kissing. And all my friends was my best friend's bouquet.
We did it.
Woo! Woo, 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 woo!
We did it.
Fall Harvest, baby!
Fall Harvest.
Hey, we have four segments. I don't know if you've heard this in Scuttlebutt, Reddit, reading it, on the press releases and all stuff.
That's exactly on the subreddit I'm a part of.
Subreddit, four segments.
Yeah. Four segments, subreddit.
And we have those four segments. We're going to get to them in just a second. But I think we're going to take a quick break, if that's okay with everybody here. Everybody good? We'll be right back after this. And I told Tracy,
look,
rewind it and just take it out. And she's like, I can't do it.
We told her to be kind.
She's not the best.
She's not the best, but she's
wonderful at other things.
Guilty as charged. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Hope those ads were great for you. If not, let us know. I know you will. Hey, we have four segments.
We always
There's a subreddit. There's all this good stuff about four these segments, four subreddit. Segments.
Yeah.
And the first one I think is essential. It's the cornerstone, if you will, to this podcast. And it is the hot take.
Be my cornerstone.
Wow.
Clay Cross, everybody. Clay Cross.
Man, it has been, almost two and a half years now without a Clay Cross, and it was about time.
I couldn't get through without laughing.
No.
Glad you did it.
It's a hot take. It's the part of the show where we share exactly how we feel. We do not hold back. Apparently, maybe we do. Join the Facebook group. I don't know. But Panda, you share... You're more articulate, I think, than any of us could be.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's because you are so in touch with how you feel. Yeah. Your opinions, they never shift. Mm-hmm. And I would love for you to break out your opinions right now for us.
Sure.
Break them out.
This movie is not great. It's bad. Don't like it. Here's the deal. Just because you throw a scarf and some apple cider in a movie doesn't make it a fall movie, first of all. There's not... hardly any fall feels in this, but it's also like the best way of describing this. You know how we all think that the mystery movies are heavy on exposition. This movie feels like a mystery movie with the exposition without any mystery whatsoever. And so as a result of that, what you have is just a lot of talking, some insanely long scenes, and a backstory of a bouquet that I can't track. I couldn't track it. And like, I feel like maybe
the bouquet story is pretty straightforward.
No,
it's one.
You tell me what you think the bouquet story is, please, really quickly, and then I'll tell you how wrong you are.
Yeah, she does the full thing at the beginning of the movie.
Tell us the story.
Okay, an aunt.
Yes.
Bouquet.
Right.
There's a couple people that leave, or somebody who goes away in
her
life.
There's another aunt.
There's another aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Bouquet.
Yeah. I think this is just like a listening comprehension.
No,
problem.
It's a long. No, it's a boring scene. It's not boring
and not being able to track her different.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe it's so boring it lulls you into just being like you're not going to listen. And I feel like we're to blame for it. Deck the Hallmark, because we literally pick these movies into oblivion, and they decide to just sit there and say, "All right, you want backstory? Here's backstory on a bouquet." It crushed my soul within the first 10 minutes, and I never recovered from this movie. Here is a redeeming thing. Chaley Rose is great. She's great in this movie. Like, I really enjoy her, but overall, this movie did not like it at all.
It hurts my spirits when you are as wrong as you are. You're not typically that wrong. In this scenario, you could not be more wrong. This movie is what the kids call dynamite. It is dynamite film.
It's dynamite film.
It's dynamite. Let me finish this sentence. It's dynamite filmmaking. It's a fantastic movie. I am going to have to go home, get in my prayer closet, and spend time deciding which movie I like more, this movie or Country at Heart, because I really, really, really like them both. I think this movie, though, is squeaking ahead of that one. Listen, I have made it clear on numerous occasions how much I love friend movies. So this movie checked that box off. Love friends, love brunch.
Your check is just weird.
Wow. They checked that one off. Yeah. Friendly TV, that's it. Loved it. I love Chaley Rose. I love the male leads. I loved Will Forsythe, who was just a treat.
The Will Forsythe?
Yes. this movie for me, I just loved it. I just couldn't... I just loved it. And when you were sharing your opinion, Panda, which
you
is
had
exactly
a lot of faces. I could see them.
It
was tough.
It was as if you punched me in my stomach.
Wow.
And it was taking me a while to get the breath back. This movie is dynamite. And I'll leave it at that. I think dynamite is the perfect word to describe this movie for Brian.
Yeah. I'm going to probably be nicer than you to this movie.
Good.
It doesn't do it for me. There's a lot that's wrong with the movie, but I do think that Hallmark is trying. Like, you can see in this, Hallmark is trying, and I'm here to tell you that I think over Christmas they're going to find it somewhere, and there's going to be a good Christmas movie. They're going to find exactly that's what they're bold. Looking for. Because
save it for the preview show, part 10.
This is the look back is where I'm saving it for the second look back. That's my sweet spot. There is way too much exposition with the side characters. I do think, I don't know if I want to give us all the credit, but I did get the suspicion several times during the movie that somebody's picking these apart, so we're going to have to give some extra exposition, or there's not enough time. Having said that, I had plenty of fall feels in this movie. This Java bean place that shows old movies at night with cider and popcorn. All of the dress is festive. They're having this, rehearsal or this, not rehearsal, this reception at this giant, like, lodge looking thing. I was totally on board with the fall stuff. Chaley Rose is great. I liked the story of the movie. I will tell you that this movie was boring at times and did seem like there was a lot of dead air because they did not use a ton of music in this movie. But I will take this movie over any of the other fall movies this season.
Over Country at Heart.
No. Over Country at Heart.
No.
And it's not even close.
Can I add another thing that I really liked about
but remember,
it?
I think lower on Country at Heart than you two.
That's true.
I didn't like it.
That's true. You're wrong. You were wrong there too. The fact that homeboy Alex liked her, loved her from the very beginning of the movie. Yes. I love that. It's hitting its stride.
Here are the things that it does. I can tell you, first of all.
This is what hitting its stride looks
like. Hitting its stride like this.
Oh, that's the stride.
This movie doesn't have any flat character in it, aside from Ted. We'll get to him later. this movie doesn't have any sort of weird, explanation of how these characters meet. It's clearly been friends forever. No one is a monster in this movie either. No one. Even Mr. Forsythe, Will Forsythe, sure, who they try to make like a guy who's all about work, is upfront from the beginning that he's all about work. He says it from the beginning. He's never not thoughtful in his own way. Everyone in this movie, the mother-in-law is not a monster. Everyone in this movie can be likable and can understand them in the context of their situation. And that is impressive for a Hallmark movie. That alone is impressive. And it's a group of friends that has been together since college. That is a much better idea for a Hallmark movie than the same thing. I do think, and this is another thing, I think Hallmark has a trouble starting movies. Just in general, they have trouble starting movies. That's why it's almost always six establishing shots of the big city, go to the girl giving a presentation, but her heart's really not in it, call from home. The reason that's the case is because they don't know how to start movies. This was no exception. For a movie about a magical bouquet, which is a wild idea for a movie, they just don't know how to start these movies. And it's either that one thing that I said, or it's dead air, and it's characters that don't really know how to act together. And so the recovery that had to take place from the beginning of this movie was brutal, because the opening salvo of this movie is trash. It's not good. But as a whole, the characters are better, the acting's better, the movie's better than Country at Heart. And so for that reason, it's the best of the fall movies.
I also want to say something I love about Chae Lee is how her line delivery throughout the movie is really fun. Like she's great. Yeah. She's just kind of throwing things.
Yeah.
She threw a beanbag at one point. Like she just didn't, like she was whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
She's having fun. I think she's having fun making the movie and it shows.
This was much better, in my opinion, than the first, attempt at the post-COVID or during COVID making movies.
Wedding every week.
These people didn't feel like they were just like stilted, scared to touch each other.
Yeah. Well, Forsythe also, he was in both of those.
He was.
He was just hopping from COVID set to COVID set.
That's right.
So good for him. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's time for all the feels. Panda, did you find any in your dead heart?
No, none.
No feels. Just freaking take the day off. Just listen to Take the Day Off on the Bramble Gym Podcast Network and just don't show up, because this negativity from you in particular is not welcomed here.
It just seems like a good fall movie.
It just seems like the something happened during the watching of this movie that the movie couldn't
control. Did you stub your toe?
I'm not saying this is a good movie. It's a bad movie, but this is shocking.
I don't like it. I don't like the movie. Yeah.
If it wasn't a Fall Harvest movie, would you have liked it more?
If it was a summer movie, I would have probably liked it more. But you can't sit there and you can't tell me, hey, this is a fall movie.
Was it just the festival in Country at Heart that won you the fall?
I liked the plot. It was a fun one. I liked the music. There was a lot there. But this one, man, I just don't like it. I don't know what you want from me. Hey, the cider stuff, if you want me to dig down deep, cider and popcorn, sure, let's do it. That's great. Yeah. Sure, more of that. But, I don't know what you want from me. I didn't like the movie. Didn't like it. No feels.
All right. Well, so the letter is being read. And there's a montage over top of it. And boy, oh boy, goosebumps for
They usually don't do that.
I loved it. I love a good montage.
The fact that you got.
And it was there was some sweeping strings with piano going over top of it.
Here's the thing about that is that that scene didn't work for me because I thought the letter was poorly written. But I appreciate to no end.
It's so hard to be your friend.
Hallmark, camera three me real quick. Okay. Hallmark,
oh my gosh.
Camera three me.
Okay.
I appreciate the fact that in this movie, we got a letter being read and we got to see a reaction shot with narration and a montage of how deep the friendship was in the between the two leads that turned romantic. That is just not the Hallmark that I've been watching for 3 years. And I thought the letter was poorly written, but I do want to give you props. That is a next level technique that is just not being seen in Hallmark movies, and you did it. Congratulations. I was very impressed at that.
Dan's handing out participation trophies today for everybody.
For Hallmark, that's the bar for Hallmark.
Did you have any
them
feels?
Trying is the bar. They normally don't try. So them trying is a big deal.
I don't want them to try. Give me my old Hallmark.
You want the same thing.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Come on.
You just are averse to change. That's the problem. So I actually, weirdly enough, the only scene that I love that this movie loves old movies. The writer of this movie has a love for old movies. Now, some of that is in the script is a little misplaced, or either the reading of the lines is wrong, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But the fact that they bring up these movies with Gregory Peck and Cary Grant and Hepburn, and it's not just Casablanca. They bring up three or four of these movies, and they want to watch
and
these movies.
And Corey Nashmill.
Yeah, Corey Nashmill is such a big... that, I appreciated that as someone that loves movies. I appreciated that. And then I thought it went on way too long. But if they could have, instead of doing that full bit when they go out to that park and she's like, all right, you stand here, you're Brian, I'm going to hold this, I'm going to walk down the aisle. It was way too long. But the moment where they look at each other we stare deep in each other's eyes, and then he starts to say something to her and she realizes she's got feelings too and cuts him off. That singular moment was a really good moment. I wish it had not been completely telegraphed from the get-go with 3 or 4 minutes of fake wedding prep. I thought that was over the top. But that one moment did work for me, and so there you go. There's some feels.
Listen, Panda, you are entitled to thinking a movie is bad. I didn't see it coming with this one.
Really?
I'm just so shocked that you didn't love this movie with me.
I would not have been surprised if you just were meh on it. Like, I would not have been surprised if you were meh on it, because
boring.
It's a movie they're trying some new things.
Here's my problem. I think I had really high hopes going into this. Like, I think I had this was the fall season that I felt like I was going to be getting my full run of fall movies.
I think you're upset by the whole slate of fall movies and you're taking it out on this movie, maybe.
Well, I think that this is indicative of what we've seen so far. And it's just is it better than Daisy Hill? Yes.
The Mar Vistas. Yes,
a mile. Like, yes.
But
of
you
course.
Gave a stronger reaction to this one than you did those.
Right. Two. And here's why. Because this one is, there's a bar that's set that's a little bit higher for Hallmark. Like, I'm expecting those fall feels. I'm expecting just more. And it was that my expectation. I was like, man, last week was great. I loved it. All right. We move into this week. It's just a letdown. And I know I've only got one more before we get inundated with Christmas. Like, next week, I'm putting all of my hope into
Nikki
next week.
And Nikki and Andrew.
Yeah. And it just, I need it.
I don't think they'll let you down.
I don't think so either. I've seen some of the previews.
He's more of a closed book.
Yeah, but she is a
choose your own adventure.
I'm excited. Yeah. But this movie, man, it was just, I'm sad.
All right,
boys.
Let me, I need a breather just from how hurt I am. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the wait what. And I think I'll get over it. I feel personally
my friend's
attacked.
Okay.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
And I didn't like it. And I'll tell myself,
I disagree. I'm doing better than I was, and no one gives me, no one behooves me anything.
I wouldn't behoove you anything.
You can't.
Just wait.
Just wait
till I take a week off in the middle of October and December.
Okay, October, December. Got it.
Hey, it's time for the Way Why. This is part of the show we're talking about what this movie made us go, Way What, Panda?
So she is back and forth on the idea that Alex likes her. She's not entirely sure. There's a little bit of uncertainty there. But here's the deal. Alex is texting her XO before she goes to sleep. I've got to just toss out there the reality that you don't pick up on that sooner, that he's really into you.
She texted XO back immediately and then changed it to a smiley face emoji.
Right.
I think that that's been what they've done their whole friendship. That would be my guess.
And you don't pick up on that?
She doesn't pick up on anything until very late in the movie.
Yeah, I just...
She doesn't waffle on him. She doesn't pick up on it at all for over an hour. He does.
Yeah.
She doesn't.
One of the more just... I think this is more of an awkward cut than anything else, but Josie yells at Alex at the party. This is at the near the end where she lights into him because he hasn't revealed that he's going to Chicago. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she walks away. She's no more than maybe 1-2 steps away. And the friend, Ted, steps in.
Teddy ball game.
And I love Ted. Ted steps in. He goes, "Hey, bro, you all right?" It's just odd timing. Like, you can't pull him to the side to talk about that. Like, it's just, it's a weird moment for him. And then people just start leaving the party after they start telling the story. Like, they're walking out like a mass exodus. Yeah. It's probably...
This party sucks. This party's
over.
They can't even tell a story.
Nope.
I'm out.
And then finally, the very end, the lay at the final bouquet toss at the very end. It's supposed to be a heartfelt moment, but there's one person who is literally... anticipating the jump, every single one, two, three. Now, I'm not throwing shade on that because I too have to anticipate a jump before I try jumping. But then when the bouquet is actually thrown.
Doesn't move.
Doesn't move. And I don't know. I just, like, what happened there? Where was the movement?
The background actors didn't do their job.
They did not. There was no movement there.
After hearing Pain as Weight was, I'm just convinced he didn't watch the movie.
What?
Like, there's just nothing there.
What do you mean there's nothing there?
You were just bored and you tuned out.
No.
You were bored 10 minutes in and you were like, okay, I'm tuning out.
No, there's a... I mean, I picked it apart. There you go.
I picked it apart.
There you go. She started a nonprofit. What's it called again?
Study Hall Club.
And she says that... it's currently local, but they have dreams of taking it citywide. And I just, I want to know what is more local than the city.
That's right.
That you're in.
Yeah. I don't know. What city are they in?
I don't know. But it's like, we're currently just right here for kids that live within
Just say one location.
Yard?
Say, we're currently in this location. We want to take it citywide. But when you say we're currently local and then we want to take it citywide, that is still very local.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what to tell you.
Dream big.
And that presentation was just a bang up presentation.
It was a great presentation. Yeah. So going back to the cornhole, for being cornhole enthusiasts like they are, they have really bad form. Like, taking away the part where they're getting distracted and throwing it far away, they're just all willy-nilly with the bags. It's like a technique I've never seen before.
Bean, I think that checks out.
Yeah. Bean Street just closes early one day.
Yeah.
And I...
Middle of the day.
Bean Street, come on. What, like, I am Bean for Street. You, Bean Street, but people go there to work. You can't just be closing early, Bean Street. Like, you got plenty of people still out on the patio. Patrons that have given you money, and you're just like, "Oh, we're closing early today. Closing up shot." So, like, come on, Bean Street.
Be better, Bean Street.
And last but the Hallmark, my boys, my friends, my guys. We are getting to the end of this movie, and we have a big text message reveal coming straight out of a commercial break. But I can't read the text message because there's a ginormous TVG over top. If just communicate better with whoever's editing the movie and say, hey, this is the place to work with for text, because there's a chance that a giant pumpkin's going to be on the bottom right. There's going to be a TVG on the top left. We're going to put a ginormous fall harvest thing on the bottom left. It's going to cover about half the screen. Just let him know. Yeah. Just let them know what the room is to work with, because I could not read the text message. I still don't know what it said. Luckily, I was able to figure out what happened at the end of this movie. Goodness. Thank God.
Is that something that everyone sees, or is that unique to like a particular, like,
no, TVG? I think it's everybody.
I think it's everybody. I don't know. I assume that it's, you know, whoever's putting up the fall harvest things and the slides and the whatnot also puts up the TVG when they come out from commercial break. But I don't know. All I'm saying is that should be universal.
Yes.
It should be universal. Like, hey, here's
on the right.
Yeah. Here's where the cable provider or whoever is going to put TVG. Work within these parameters. Cause I couldn't read the text message, guys. We were getting to the climax of the film and I couldn't read the text message.
Yeah. Not great.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's not good.
Come on.
It's not good.
Go ahead.
Hey, Ted. Hey. Ted.
Sure.
Buddy.
Teddy Buckets.
Where did you go? Where'd you go?
I missed you so.
Because all of these other characters in this movie stick around all movie long.
Yep.
All of them do. The Athena and Brian.
We get a full Athena backstory.
Ted just MIA disappears on us for 40 minutes. And for the life of me, I don't understand where he is. what's going on. Everyone else, it makes sense. Ted's just gone. He's just gone. Couldn't make it to film that day. I don't know if they didn't want to pay him. I don't know. Ted's gone. It's weird. Speaking of relationships that should not ever happen, may I introduce you to Brian and Athena? First of all, Brian is eccentric. Can we say eccentric? He's is that
strange,
fine?
Dude.
He loves his mom. He loves a frittata. He loves a good...
guys, he loves brunch.
He loves brunch. He loves a good banquet hall. Where he gets married is very important to him. And Athena, here's the thing is, I just don't think he's that into you either. And you're stressed out a lot over a guy that... I don't know.
Also, Athena throws in this fact about herself. She likes to play with rocks. I mean, she's into
she's a geologist.
So, yeah. But it just was a weird thing to throw in about rocks.
All I know is this is when
it's an odd cop
when Josie and what's the dude's name are at the park, and she goes, "You pretend to be Brian." He immediately puts his hand on his hip, flails his arm out, and then pretends to eat something. That's how this guy pretends to be Brian. Okay? Like, I don't, like, Brian is in a different movie than this movie, and he doesn't love Athena, and we don't see that at all throughout the whole movie. But Athena has a lot more to worry about because no one has told her that with a master's degree, you cannot get a professorship. It does not exist with a master's degree. You're working on your master's thesis, your student teaching geology. Congratulations, you can go and teach high school. Your professorship is not coming. It's not happening. I'm sorry. It just, no. Hey, can we all agree that, and you're not going to agree with me, but can we all agree that in a letter you should never say, we get through this thing called life?
I think that's exactly what you should do.
Oh,
wait, why don't you like
this here podcast
called the Deck the Hallmark podcast?
This here friendship's about to be over if you don't stop
this it. This here friendship is fine. This thing we call is one of the more just redundant, dumb things ever. I hate it.
That's just you being a little nitpicky knitter.
It's just the worst.
Why don't you like it? You're a nitpicky knitter.
I'm a nitpick. What?
Yeah. I'm with Brand.
Nitpicky knitter.
No.
I'm a nitpicky knitter. It happens to the best of us. She says, I might elope. She's this grand romantic who loves romantic gestures and loves old movies and says, I might elope like I'm in an old film noir. Just take that word noir off of there. Film noir ends really poorly. They're usually very like dark on life. They're movies that end with a split up, a death, a darkness. They're not the flighty romantic gesture. The other movies you named, go for it. Those other movies, Philadelphia Story, absolutely. Why did you throw noir in there? Like, if you're eloping, it's not because you're Sam Spade trying to like solve the latest murder. You're going away with someone that you love to get married in private. And then lastly, they're drinking champagne and the name of the champagne is just champagne.
That's my favorite.
It's
type
your favorite
though.
Brand. It's my when favorite we pop brand. Open a bottle of bubbly,
when you're good, you're good.
I would go, is that champagne? And you're like,
yeah. I didn't get just anything.
Is that champagne?
I got champagne.
Oh, good.
Champagne by champagne.
If you're just putting champagne on a bottle, that either has to be the most expensive beverage in the world, or it has to be. Can you imagine just something that just said beer?
Hey, hand me that beer.
Yeah, beer.
Beer.
Yeah.
You know what? Those weren't bad. Those weren't bad.
What do you mean bad?
Usually they're just, I think.
And that's what I'm saying. I think this movie bored us all into complacency.
The movie doesn't have nearly as many weight what's as the rest of
it. It doesn't, but it's boring. Like that's just the.
But it is more airtight than almost any other Hallmark movie I've ever seen from a standpoint of the plot holding together. Like it is.
Okay.
We have characters that make sense by and large, except for Brian and Athena. I don't know who they are.
I am concerned.
It's time for What the Hallmark. Yeah. It's the part of the show we wonder what could have been with maybe having to give some clarity to the questions that we still have. You got it. I think we should start with Panda.
There's not often that we've done this. We haven't done one of these in a while. I have a theory to put forth.
Oh, boy.
That's a theory to put forth.
Here's the one. The country club catches fire, right? At one point, which is why they have to move.
They have to move.
Do you think...
Brian started the fire?
Not Brian. Brian's mother.
Ooh.
T- tossing it out there. She shows
Brian's
up.
Brian's mom started the fire. Didn't like Athena, so she burned the country club down.
Last word was so unnecessary.
That was good. Really good. I just want to toss it out there.
I love that. I think that's very possible.
It's a real possibility.
Yeah, she was. She had the crazy eyes, but then it turns out she's totally normal, apparently, at the end of the movie.
I don't know.
Yeah. So obviously the clear one is Bean Street and just what it is and how it happens. Yeah, Java in the
Bean.
Movies.
Java Bean.
I thought it was Bean Street.
I think it was
Java. You said Java Bean.
Java Bean Cafe.
What's Bean Street?
I don't know. Bean Street Coffee Company. Isn't there a Bean Street here in Greenville?
I don't know. What are the coffee with the movies? Yeah. But my main one though is the fellow who finds the letter that blew out of the trash can. That magically at the end of this movie is a part of the French group and is just there to say, it's just there to be like, I put it in the mailbox.
He's like,
just call me Fade. Here I am. What's his story? Yeah. Is he the guy at the coffee shop that closes it down?
He's the waiter. Yeah.
Is he an angel?
Dude. Yeah. There's a lot.
Is he an angel?
He could be an angel. But the way he says it undermines the entire premise of the movie.
It's like
fate brought us together. And he's like, actually, I did. It's me, coffee shop guy.
That's
it wasn't fate. I mailed the letter.
Yeah.
Saw you. I want to know about the study hall club. Sure. I'm not sure. On the surface, it sounds like a great idea, helping kids that need help, inner city kids. But the one scene we see with the study hall club in session are three children that are probably 20 to 21 years old, and none of them are getting help on anything. It's basically just a quiet room for them to study in. Because the way she pitches it, it's like, we're going to give hands-on help, one-on-one help. Because when you get to high school and you're trying to like get good grades and stuff, you need somebody that's a professional to do it. This seems more like something that is just a place to have study hall. And if that's the case, there are a lot of ways to do that for a lot less money than what they're doing in the movie, where you have an assistant and you have your own office, and then there's one tiny little room where they have study hall. I'm very confused about
this. They're starting local. They're going to go citywide.
They're going to go citywide. And then lastly, has anyone in this movie ever played cornhole before? Like, is any writer, director, the cornhole board defies the laws of physics in this movie. There is a beanbag on the front of the circle. A beanbag goes through the hole.
Taps it.
And then that beanbag proceeds to slide back down off of the board.
Only thing I can figure is that someone greased it up.
That's
one of the reasons I do think whenever I play cornhole, that's what happens. Because they never stay on there.
They call you the greaser.
They do call me the greaser.
You've been greasing against yourself for years.
Yeah.
We did it, everybody.
Yay.
My best friend's bouquet. We got one more fall movie, and then Santa Claus is coming to town.
It's all riding on you, buddy.
It's all riding on you, sweet
romance.
Sweet Autumn.
Sweet Autumn.
Sweet Autumn. Sweet Autumn.
I didn't know that was the name of the movie. It was like 7 days till Sweet Autumn. What the heck is Sweet Autumn?
It's the name of the movie.
Sweet Autumn. That sounds like an exclamation. Ooh,
Sweet Autumn.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God, Sweet Autumn.
Sweet Autumn.
Before we go, boy, oh boy, the double deckers have just been out in full force. They have been just posting all sorts of fun stuff on the Facebook group. Again, BrambleJamPlus.com. If you're not doing it, you need to do it. And Panda, every week you do a deep dive on those that are double deckers, finding out some things about them, finding out their history. You do it all on Google, from what I understand. Sometimes you ask Jeeves, et cetera.
Yeah.
Who do we have today, Dan?
Sometimes you ask Jeeves.
Sometimes you ask Jeeves.
No, Jeeves. Didn't we do Kayla Goggin last week? Kayla Gawhan.
All a blur. Panda would know. He's the one that does it.
The Googles are...
we'll have to take it to the tape. Just act as if we did.
She's going to get two then, because it's right. It says
She's a multi-talented person.
Kayla Goggin and Scott Newman. Kayla Goggin and Scott Newman.
Kayla Goggin and Scott...
Are you drunk?
Yeah.
Kayla's got it. Kayla Goggin's got it.
Let me just say up front, one of the great perks of being part of the Deck the Hallmark podcast for me, guys, spiritually, is just that we get to do a little bit of venture capitalism sometimes and invest in stuff that matters
the most. It is good for the soul.
And listen, I think I've got an idea that they came up with it, but I'm going to pitch it to you guys. It's a genius one. Full disclosure, we've gone all in.
We have gone all in.
All in.
Okay. All right.
Tracy authorized
it. Tells no lies.
Yep.
That's true. It's a bang up idea.
the name of the company they're starting? Maroons.
Maroons.
Yep.
Okay. I don't need more information.
Yeah. Sure. So here's the deal. They take you out on a tour to an island. They leave you there. Just what we're always asking the question, what would you do on a desert island if you were there for a few days? We're always asking that question. And they do it. They just answer it for you. What are you going to do? And then they just leave you there.
Did you just say that we're always asking the question, what would you do on a desert island for a few days?
Well, I mean, if you were stuck there.
How long, do they leave them there forever?
Well, until you get back.
So shouldn't it be called marooned? Shouldn't it be called marooned? What's the plural for?
Maroons?
Maroons. No,
there's multiple people marooned with you?
Yeah. Well, and I'm not entirely sure it's the smart thing to do this, but it does. I think you should invest in it. So I think it works.
We're already all in.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What is that? Yeah.
So we bought the boats.
Okay.
We bought the islands.
Wow. We are all in.
And we have stakes in it.
You guys know the bank?
Yeah.
We owe them.
We owe the bank. How much do we owe the bank?
Well, we bought a lot of islands. We bought maybe, I'm looking at it, maybe too many up front. But I said, get all of the islands.
If you think 1,000 is too many.
So how much do you pay
to be marooned
on a deserted island?
To be marooned.
Well, and this is maybe where
We've been marooned.
I feel like we should have talked about this beforehand. It's $50.
So you pay a one-time $50
fee. Yeah.
And do you know ahead of time you're getting marooned? It seems like it's pretty upfront. You know ahead of time you're getting marooned on this island.
Well, we haven't worked out some of the details.
How are we advertising this right now? Do we tell
people? Do you want a free cruise for $50?
So it's not free.
Well,
free and $50 are mutually exclusive. Well,
so hear me out. We don't mention the $50. Once we drop them off at the island, we have a card scanner and we just have them scanned at that point.
What if we dropped them off at the island? Hear me out, since this is the worst I've ever heard. What if we dropped them off and we said, hey, it's 50, we said free. The free cruise was coming back.
But
it's $50 to come back. Everybody pays, we leave them there anyway. They're marooned, we get our $50.
Hey, I mean, you know
this is why we invited it. This is why I bring you guys into these conversations, because you guys took something that potentially could have been a bad idea, and now we have something that's workable.
It's a real money maker.
You guys know Clark O'Henry?
Dude, yeah.
Oh, Henry, do I know?
So we put him on the islands.
Yeah.
And he has free reign. Take all their possessions.
Clark just shows up and robs
Clark O'Henry's.
Yeah.
So these people are marooned on a deserted island.
Yeah.
And we have someone hiding in said island that's just taking their stuff.
Free reign. Like the guys on Lost.
Does he tell them I've got free reign? Does he give them like a card that says free reign?
Yes.
Free
reign. Yeah. We gave him 15 free reign cards. He can use them at will.
Whenever he wants.
He's out of cards.
Oh, well, at that point, he has to ask permission.
It's so weird.
We're not
what
monsters.
What do you think a free reign card is, Dan?
No, I get it.
Why ask dumb questions?
It's a dumb question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was dumb.
We did it.
We'll be back this Thursday with our third preview show that we will use to our advantage at next week's kickoff
episode.
Stay
tuned to the lookout.
I'm also...
Look out for the look back is what I'm saying.
A couple of really fun guests are also going to join us on the latter half of that episode. You're not going to want to miss that. Boy, it's a lot. It's just fun to be
here.
It's just fun. It's just fun to be here. We'll be back on Thursday and the next week with Sweet Autumn. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Friendly TV and recorded live in Greenville, South Carolina at the Bramble Jam Podcast Network Studios. It's produced by Brandon Gray. You can find out more information at deckthehallmark.com.